You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
So, like, today on The Griot Daily, we're going to be doing something different, right? This is great documentary, and I'm kind of a documentary nerd. Not even a nerd, right? Like, it's just, like, my favorite form of film. Like, some people like horror movies. I don't believe in ghosts, so I watch documentaries. But in a sense, this documentary that we're going to be talking about today is kind of about ghosts, America's ghosts. And it's about the aftermath of Hurricane Katrina. It's going to be on HBO. And today we're privileged. It was the first time I've ever called myself privileged to be talking with the director and the producer of that film. And it's Katrina Babies. And so I want to welcome him to The Griot Daily.
I'm Michael Harriet, world famous white peopleologist, and this is The Griot Daily.
Yo, thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thank you for joining me, man. I'm a huge fan of documentaries, and I thought this just gave so much perspective and was such encapsulation of not just like, you know, sometimes you see documentaries that, you know, tug on your heartstrings and tell a poignant stories, but it doesn't really give you any insight on the system, and which is what we talk about a lot in this podcast, about the systemic issues or about the historical issues or how this affects us, right? Like, it's just a story about a thing that happened to somebody.
Nobody ever asked the children how they were doing. So I am.
Katrina Babies, take one.
And that's what I love about this documentary is not just the stories of people who are affected by a thing that happened, but it's about how it's not really just about like the random act of a hurricane.
Absolutely.
Or a weather event. So the first thing I want to know is, how did you find like these specific stories? Or, and did you, like, were there like 12 people that you looked at and then narrowed it down? Or did you just happen upon these specific stories?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first started working on a project, I was a junior at Dillard University. You know, I was taking a documentary class. And, you know, obviously, I grew up on the social media doings. And I don't have a film background. My father, my mother doesn't have a film background. So, you know, I didn't really know what I was doing outside of, like, taking, like, the class. So even, like, when it came to, quote, unquote, casting, right, this documentary, my go-to process was to go straight to Facebook, right? I was worried that not many people would want to share their stories, honestly, because again, in New Orleans, we're really funny about stuff like that, you know, when it comes to giving our stories away, especially to like films, because we've seen it done wrong so many times.
In America, especially during disaster, Black children are not even a thought.
Have you ever like talked about this before?
No, I haven't.
Why you that?
I don't know, nobody never asked me.
Hurricane Katrina caused one of the biggest disbursements of Black people in history. When I went to Facebook, you know, and I posted, hey, I'm looking for people who were young during Hurricane, you know, Katrina, because like, I want to tell y'all a story. I was surprised at the fact that there was like a uproar of people that was ready to, you know, sit down and talk about their experiences. And that kind of gave me a form of validation, you know, to see that so many people wanted to share what they had experienced in 2005.
Yeah, so you say you don't have a background in filmmaking or this whole process. One of the things we explain on this podcast is that, like, when we talk about those processes or, you know, the general way we make film, like, it's just some shit that people figured out themselves, right? It ain't no process. Like, they call it a process, but it's just some stuff that people figured out themselves.
Next.
And we know that we have the creativity
absolutely
to do that stuff themselves. And you basically, like, it's kind of bad to have you on this podcast because you did what every student in every documentary filmmaker thinks that they're going to be able to do in their head is like, I'm going to find me a story. And as soon as I get out of college, I'm going to make a film. Like that, it almost never happens. It's,
yeah,
it's the dream of every, it was my dream. So I know, and it's the dream of every filmmaker. So how did you like go from asking people on Facebook to like literally saying, having HBO say, that's a good idea, man. We'll put it on our platform.
When I first came up with the idea in college, you know, I sat on it for about like maybe like a year and a half. And like, I never started to like, you know, water it or like invest in it. I just set on like, pretty much I set on the name. I was like, I'm gonna make a, like, I was like, I'm gonna make a documentary called Katrina Babies. Like, you know what I'm saying? And then like, you know, I set on it. And then, you know, as real life was happening, because again, I am a big part of this story. I am close to this film. You know, I, you know, fled Hurricane Katrina in 2005, and you know, I'm from New Orleans, and I returned to New Orleans. So it was very, very close to me.
I remember I asked one of the adults, wait, like, if like all of this is underwater, what happened to the people who stayed behind? Like, where are they? And like, you know, she was like, like, looked me dead in my eye as a kid and said, everybody who stayed in New Orleans is dead. And like, I just started crying. Like, instantly, I just started crying. Looking at the TV screen and her saying that, it seemed like it was true.
You know, I always say that growing up in New Orleans and all of my time in New Orleans was really like a unintentional research and like development process, right? So even when I thought that I wasn't working on this film, I was working on it by just simply living in New Orleans, right? So I kept getting signs, right? And, you know, I felt like I kept getting like messages from God that, you know, I should be working on this project, like honestly. And it was one holiday season, my cousin Tina, who's in the film, she called me up and, you know, she was like speaking to everybody like in the family about still being displaced because, you know, normally for holidays, we would all be together. And she was very, very emotional like this holiday. And once she and I got on the phone, she, you know, was telling me that, you know, she'd been seeing all the stuff that my mama been putting on Facebook about, you know, me telling stories and like, you know, shooting videos or whatever. And, you know, she was just like, yo, like one day I'm gonna let you make a movie about my life. And I was like, okay, well, you know, what type of movie? You know what I'm saying? Because like, everybody said that. Like everybody like, yo, like
everybody
said that, right? So
as a writer, you know, they tell me, I want you to write a book about my life, man. You need to write a book about my life.
Yes, exactly. And you know, I'm a college student like at the time. So I'm like, well, you know, tell me more, like what happened? And she just instantly started to, you know, talk about Hurricane Katrina. So just for context, my family evacuated during Hurricane Katrina, my immediate family, my parents and my sisters and I evacuated. And my cousins, who were my like pretty much like my best friends, Tina's kids, they chose to ride out the storm and stay in New Orleans. So that's the context. So she told me about the story that they experienced once they stayed in New Orleans. And it was heavy. It was heavy to hear like on that holiday. And once she told me about what happened with she and her children, specifically when she talked about what her children saw, something just clicked. And that idea that I had about Katrina babies, you know, I was like, I got to start this right now. And really, the main reason was because after growing up in a post-Katrina New Orleans, I had heard so much throughout my whole childhood that, you know, y'all kids are bad. Y'all kids are violent. Y'all kids are criminals. Like, you know, y'all have, you know, like behavior problems. And as soon as she told me that story, something just clicked in my head. I was like, wait, what if the reason that we're acting out is because of what children experienced in 2005?
The displacing of Black communities all over the city started to cause like this trickle-down effect of, you know, you are no longer in the community you came up in. You are now being put in like concentrated areas or like pockets.
And that was really how I started the journey. And, you know, I just stayed consistent for like 7 years. Like, you know, people would always ask me like, yo, like, how long is this project going to take? And like, I was like, honestly, this is real life. So I can't rush real life. And my mentor, Chike Oza, who's one half of Kuti and Chike, he just kept checking on me every year. Like, yo, like, how's the project going? And like, you know, anytime like I would venture off, he'd be like, bro, this is the project, you know, like it's going to change your life. Right. So then 2020 hits and like pandemic hits and God set us down, right? And when God set us down, I was forced to just sit quiet with Katrina babies. I didn't have any other work coming in. And I got that call, like, you know, I got that annual call from Chike, like, yo, what's going on with our Katrina babies? I might have an opportunity for you. And he introduced me to his producer, RG Rosenberg, and then also introduced me to a company that he was working with, Time Studios of Time Magazine. And, you know, honestly, bro, everything started moving fast after that. Like it's like right after that, a few weeks later, we pitched to HBO and like HBO wanted it in the room. And it's just been the grind since then, you know? So I'm still kind of, I don't want to say shocked, but like, you know, I'm still, it's still like a feeling of like surrealism. Like, you know, to even be here, you know, talking to you about it, like we have a finished product. It's still like a bit surreal, but I'm grateful, you know?
It took nearly a decade for this documentary to be made, but that's just the beginning of the story. In part two, you'll hear Edward explain how the tragedy of Katrina opened his eyes to how the government in America sees Black people. Don't forget to subscribe to the Griot Daily to make sure you don't miss this conversation. More of Katrina Babies next time.
You are now listening to The Griot's Black Podcast Network, Black Culture Amplified.
You're watching the Blackest Questions podcast with Christina Greer.
In this podcast, we ask our guests five of the blackest questions so we can learn a little bit more about them and have some fun while we're doing it.
Okay, so this is a trick question.
We're also going to learn a lot about Black history, past and present.
Beautiful. I learned a wonderful fact today. Great.
So here's how it works. We have five rounds of questions about us. Black history, the whole diaspora, current events, you name it. With each round, the questions get a little tougher.
Oh, you got me. Let me see.
I have no idea.
I knew you were going to go there, Dr. Greer.
Subscribe to the show wherever you listen to your podcast and share it with everyone you know.